go to 2 Peter 2 and verse 4, that the angels that sinned, that God cast them into hell, committed them to pits of darkness, reserved for judgment. And that's where the angels who have sinned, that's where they're at. So in considering the origin of Satan, I believe the only possibility to me, again, is that he is a created being. And his ministers are angels, many ways, are created beings that God has placed here to bring us about, to bring about temptation to us. And we need to understand that. We talked about the titles of Satan. That he was to be the Lord in Matthew 4, was to be tempted by the devil. And again, accuser or slanderer. In verse 3 of this same chapter, that the tempter came. In verse 10, after the third temptation, Jesus says, "Go, Satan." And again, Satan here means adversary. We need to understand who our enemy is. We need to understand the power that he has. And we need to understand how he goes about doing this. We talked about the descriptions of Satan. Again, in John chapter 8, Jesus points out that he is a murderer from the beginning, also that he is a liar and the father of lies. In John 12 and verse 31, the Lord says that he is the ruler of this world, that he was going to be cast out. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 3 and 4 that he is the god of this world who blinds the minds of the unbelieving. We noticed in Ephesians 2, verse 1 and verse 2, that Paul again expresses there that he is the prince of the power of the air, that he's the ruler of this world, that he has in his ability to command the things that are physical. And we need to understand who he is. We had talked in our last study about Satan being active today. No, not as he once was, but he has been limited. We noticed of Jesus in Matthew chapter 12, verse 22 through 29, pointing out about binding the strong man. You can't take a man's possessions away unless you bind the man. The man here was Satan. Jesus was binding Satan, taking away his possessions. And again, that he is casting out demons by the Spirit of God. This was binding Satan. In Luke chapter 10, verse 17 through 20, Jesus making the statement, "I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning." This has nothing to do with Satan in the beginning falling from heaven. This is about the power that Satan has being lessened, about him being limited. He was falling from a place of power. And this again has to do with the demons being subject to the names of the 70 that the Lord had sent out. We notice in John chapter 12, verse 30 through 32, Jesus pointing out here that judgment is upon the world. The ruler of the world will be cast out. He no longer has to be the ruler. He cannot compel us to do anything. And I believe that is where he has truly been limited today. In Hebrews chapter 2, the Hebrew writer, verse 14 and 15, that Jesus partook of flesh and blood that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death. Satan can no longer separate you or me or any individual from God. We have access, forgiveness of sin. He still rules over 99% of this world or more. But again, he does not have the power to separate us from God. And again, we've noticed in 1 John chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, that very simply John points out there that the one who practices sin is of the devil. The devil sinned from the beginning, and the Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. We can continue in these works, but Jesus has come to destroy these works. We had noticed two passages of Scripture also about him being restricted or bound. And in casting out demons, the man who had been demon-possessed, two men who had been demon-possessed, one Mark mentions and Luke mentions one, again, that Jesus cast out the demons that were in them. And they said, "Have you come here to torment us before the time?" The demons knew that their time was short. And again, they were about to be bound, and that's what the Lord did, I think, even as we begin in that gospel age. And Zechariah 13, verse 1 and 2, I think, points out when this would be. Again, in that day, a fountain will be opened for the house of David. This would be the day of Pentecost for sin and for impurity. Baptism, which can forgive us of sin. And he points out also that I will cut off the names of the idols from the land. They will no longer be remembered. And I will also remove the prophets and the unclean spirit. There is no demon possession today. You cannot say the devil made me do it. You cannot say that I do not have control of this. All right, Satan no longer has that power. That the unclean spirit is passed out of the land. And I believe very simply when miraculous spiritual gifts ceased, the power that Satan had in demon possession also ceased. Just a couple of points we'd like to look at this evening. Is Satan active today? He acts through his ministers. He acts through those who will follow after him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 13, beginning, Paul is, again, writing to these he loved at Corinth. He'd been with this church about 18 months. That had all kinds of problems. That's the first letter we see. Second letter, some of these had been corrected, but there were even other problems. And he says, for such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. Some had come among the church at Corinth, looking as if they were apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel or a messenger of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. We can understand today that there are many that are false teachers, many that look very good. You look at Joel Osteen. You look at some of these that have huge followings. They're telling people exactly what they want to hear, but they're not telling them the truth. These are ministers or angels of Satan. They are doing his will, doing his bidding in deceiving people. You go back to the book of Job. Go back to the book of Job and you think of all that Job had suffered there. And then you come down to the end of chapter 2. And it points out that Job's wife said, just curse God and die. Who's the minister of Satan there? Who's the minister of Satan to Job? His wife is. We need to understand this. That there are those who can be close to us, those who we associate with, those who we see every day. And these, again, are working for Satan in the sense of bringing about temptation, bringing about ways of not following the Lord. And again, in preaching 45 years, I've seen this many times. Husband, wife, parents, children. Again, going about to bring or set temptation in the way of those that they are supposedly loving and careful. We mentioned a little bit of that this morning. We need to understand that these are ministers of Satan. When temptation is put in our way by others. You know, most all of us, as we've grown up, we've had good friends. Probably many of those that were, I guess we'd say, of the world. And as they are, they think nothing about bringing some temptation. There are times that I had friends in high school that would drink, that would smoke, that they would be with me or close to me. Again, those temptations were always there. I never succumbed to any of those temptations. But these, we need to understand, are ministers of Satan. And as we said, they can be those that are very close to us in this sense. We don't look at them that way. And Paul says here, again, that Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. These that looked like apostles. Satan can use anyone and everyone. This is the way that he acts today, or the actions that he brings about. You know, I think there are some that are in a higher place and maybe in greater powers. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10, Paul writes about one that is the lawless one or the man of sin. Some people call this the Antichrist. Again, this is not the Antichrist. And there is no single Antichrist. That is a false belief. John writes in 1 John 2 about there being many Antichrists. And those antichrists were already working in that day when John was writing. This is not the antichrist that Paul is writing about here in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 8 through 10. But he points out then that lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. That is, the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. Who is this? Some believe that this is the Pope or a Pope. Some believe this is the Catholic Church. From when Paul was writing, he points out these things are already working. To me, it's very possible, and I think what I would say about it, it is probably a Roman emperor. It is one that's going to rule over the Roman world and is going to bring people to confess that he, the emperor, is God and burn a pinch of incense to him and cause people to blaspheme the name of Christ and to be lost eternally. Whoever this is, this lawless one, again, is in accord with the activity of Satan. Someone that is of great power and going to cause many people to sin, to be tempted and to sin. And again, Satan acts through a minister such as this. I think we can see in Matthew chapter 13, verse 19, and again, this is the explanation of the parable of the sower and of the seed that was sown on the road or on the path, that Jesus says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road. When the gospel is spoken, when the truth is presented to someone and it doesn't take root in their heart, again, perhaps this is someone close. Maybe it's a parent. Maybe it's a child, a husband, a wife. That they've heard this word and they don't give the opportunity for it to sink in. And in doing so, the evil one is working through this person that would take away this word. I've talked to people, studied with people, had someone else come along and say, well, you know, that isn't right. That doesn't have to be that way. It's not that narrow. And just dismiss it. And they go on their way and never hear the gospel of Christ. The ministers of Satan, the evil one, these again are the ones that would even take away the truth from someone. And this can be anyone in someone's life. One other place that we might look at is as Timothy writes about qualifications of elders. And in Paul's writing to Timothy, he says, and he must have a good reputation with those outside the church, so that he will not fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Reproach, very simply, is the occasion of blame or disappointment or grace. If a man who is a shepherd or a leader of the congregation does not have a good report from without, those who know this man will look at him and say, what is he doing? How can he be a shepherd of that church? That this will bring reproach on the church and what we're looking at, the snare of the devil, the trap of the devil. This is what the devil wants. And again, in noting the qualification, the characteristic, what an elder is to do is really no different than what any Christian is to do. If we represent ourselves as a Christian, someone in the body of Christ, in a locality, people are going to look at us. And again, we talked about that this morning a little bit. And we can bring reproach on the church, and we can fall into the snare of the devil and be taken away. Also like to look at the idea, very simply, that he uses our desires against us. Satan knows us. Satan knows us very well. I do not know how Satan knows these things. I don't know all about the power of Satan. Everything is not revealed about him. But again, I come back to the point that I believe God has created him for this specific purpose of tempting those who would be the Lord's. And James writes and says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lusts or his desires. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. This is the steps of temptation leading to sin, and sin leading to separating us from God. When that desire conceives, it gives birth to sin. That sin, when it's accomplished, separates us from God. Satan uses things that are innate or natural to us many times. I guess one of that is the example really of sexual satisfaction. This is something that I believe is in every human being. And it's something that Satan uses, and you can see it today in our society. In pornography, in the movies, in the suggestive things, in almost any type of television show. And again, we have a desire for those things to be fulfilled. God has said yes, fulfill those things, but only in marriage. And when these are fulfilled outside of marriage, it is lust that brings about sin, and sin then brings separation from God. And we say, but God gave me these desires. Why can't I fulfill them? Because God has placed boundaries on those things. And you can use that as an example of many, many things. I've got these desires. I've got these lusts. Why can't I fulfill these? Because God has given us boundaries to do those things in. But Satan knows that. And he's going to use exactly those things to tempt us with. And again, our desires, if we let them carry us away, truly it becomes sin. And becoming sin, that if we're separated from God and we remain that way, we'll be lost eternally. Another idea of our desires are illicit desires. Desires that we should not have, such as James writes in James chapter 3, verse 13 through 16 about. When he says, who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. You're wise, you think you're wise, you think you're understanding, then demonstrate this by your good behavior. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. Again, in about 45 years of preaching, I've known of divisions that have occurred in the Lord's church. And I believe that every time, I probably can trace those to exactly this, is bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. It usually does not come about in any other way. Congregation that I grew up in, my dad preached there, we probably had about 140. I moved back there. They actually invited me back to preach, even though I grew up there. And when I went back there, we had about 125. And they had a problem, had a difficulty with the preacher. The preacher was lifted up with pride, very simply. And he split that church. He caused people to actually physically assault one another in the church building. That congregation, last time I knew about it, was down to 29 people. And it's truly dying. I hate that. But this is traced to bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. Satan knows where to come to. Satan knows exactly what to do. And again, where this exists, he says there's disorder, every evil thing. And this is what is going to come about. One final thought this evening and on our lesson. He can be resisted. He can be resisted. I don't care how bad your temptation is. I don't care your circumstances, what has gone on in the past, whatever it might be. Satan can be resisted. James writes and says, James 4 and verse 7, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. What's the key here? The key is submit yourself to God. Put God first. When we face temptation, come to God in prayer. And that temptation will go away. We can resist the devil. We can resist his temptations. We can overcome those desires that are illicit and that are immoral. But again, Satan knows you. Satan knows you well. Do not ever think that he is not your enemy. And again, those that would cause you temptation, those that would cause you to sin, they are ministers of Satan. And we need to understand that. You will take out your song books this evening for our song on the overhead. Satan will do his best to keep anyone from serving the Lord. The word that is sown in a person's heart, when it is snatched away, that they will not understand it, that it will take no root, they never obey the gospel. The heart is hard. It remains that way. And they are lost eternally. Even we as Christians, as we pointed out, Satan's focus is on you and me. We're a Christian. He doesn't care about the rest of this world. He's already got them. He's the ruler of this world. We have to look at our life and see where we are at and what we are doing. And if there's something we need to change, we can overcome Satan by doing that. Come to the Lord. Give our life to Him. You need to respond to our invitation. Come on, stand while we sing.